We start with news from campus. UNC announced yesterday that graduate school dean Suzanne Barber will be leaving Carolina at the end of August to take over as grad school dean at Duke. Barber's departure adds to what has already been a year of significant turnover on campus, with new deans in the School of Arts and Sciences, the Gillings Public Health School, and the Hussman Journalism School, just to name a few. Speaking of Duke, the university recently hosted a panel of experts to discuss teen and adolescent mental health, which officials say is in crisis nationwide. Many factors contribute to a decline in teen mental health, but one is the presence of social media, which can enable online bullying. Sharika Hill is with Duke's Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences.
Youth were pulled out of their natural social settings and ways of engaging with peers and systems such as school, sports, and church or other organizations that they were a part of, and put on virtual platforms that really opens them up to people who may be outside of their inner circle of safety and security that could expose them to a problematic exchanges or what they would consider bullying. I mean, I think in the literature it's really alarming if we think about what that means for adolescents, which is kind of different for what we think about impacts adults, in that peer bullying is actually, if you rank it in terms of the literature, a bigger factor for outcomes or how that individual feels in the moment compared to whether or not they experience child maltreatment from a caregiver over the course of their life. So that's huge. And then realizing that if children were put on virtual platforms or their main way of socializing with individuals were through these open channels of communication, and that they had a lot more intake of it because that was their main way for schooling for a lot of people who stayed in place in the home during the pandemic or increased their online social media consumption or creation. That's really impactful. And I'm not sure if we have some answers or any recent research that's really speaking to that or interventions around that. But I think that's one way in which COVID in particular has possibly even elevated or exposed people more to those negative experiences.
And Sharika Hill speaking there at a panel of experts hosted by Duke University. You can find a link to the entire panel on our website, chapelboro.com. Staying in education news, Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools has announced that school breakfasts and lunches will not be free for students, all students, this coming school year, as a COVID-era federal waiver has expired. Elementary lunches will be $3, $3.25 in middle and high school, or 40 cents for students who qualify for reduced price lunches. Meanwhile, WRAL reports the president of the state community college system may be on the way out. Unconfirmed reports suggest Thomas Stith may be stepping down after a year and a half on that job, though Stith himself has not commented yet. Over to transportation news now, where our recent study of Route 54 could result in improvements to help bikers and pedestrians. Speaking recently with 97.9 The Hill, Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles talked about the possibility of better signal crossings in high traffic areas and, in general, a more bike and pedestrian focused approach to future transit projects.
The experience of being a cyclist in Carrboro and Chapel Hill, it can be frustrating, and a lot of folks rightly feel like it's a difficult thing to expect most of us to take on as a challenge when it's really your life is in your hands. You know, that speaks to the importance of just having a safe infrastructure in place, whether it's as something as basic as a bike lane on a busy street or something more elaborate than that, a protected bike lane or an off-road side path or something like that. You know, the Bowling Creek Greenway in Chapel Hill is a really good example. The other example you raised about sort of these timed signals or signals where they're not timed for cyclists and pedestrians very well. And this happens at a lot of our major roads around the two towns, where if you're a pedestrian or a cyclist and you're waiting for the signal to change, it can take it quite a while to cycle through. It's really not a system that's designed for people on foot or in wheelchair or bicycle. And that's something that is relatively easily changed, but you have to think about the transportation system from the perspective of those users rather than strictly from a driver's perspective.
That's Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles there. You can listen back to that full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Down now to Pittsboro, where the town has been struggling for months with its water supply being contaminated by multiple chemical spills upstream in Greensboro. The Pittsboro Town Board has called a special meeting with Greensboro City officials to discuss that issue. It's going to be this Thursday at 11:30 in Chatham Park. In state-level news, 2022 has been widely projected to be a rough year for Democrats, but that could be changing a little as we approach November. New fundraising numbers are in, and Democratic candidates are outraising Republicans in several high-profile races, most notably the race for U.S. Senate, where Democrat Sherry Beasley outraised Republican Ted Budd by more than a 3-to-1 margin last quarter. Heading into July, Beasley's campaign had nearly $5 million. Budd's campaign had about $2 million. Finally, back locally, Orange County has named a new public library director, Erin Sapienza, who's been with the Orange County Public Library since 2013. She's already been serving as interim director since last October. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Rosewood Wealth Management. Let's start with baseball, where a pair of Tar Heels heard their names called yesterday on day two of the Major League Baseball draft. Shortstop Danny Cerretti went to the Tigers in the sixth round, and then pitcher Davis Palermo went to the Rockies in round eight. The draft continues today with the final 10 rounds starting at 2 p.m. Over to football, where one future Tar Heel is getting set to begin his career while another former Tar Heel is ending it. Edge rusher Rico Walker announced yesterday that he's committing to Carolina for the class of 2023. Walker is a four-star recruit out of Hickory, ranked as the third best player in the state in his class. He chose UNC over Maryland, Tennessee, Auburn, and Florida. Meanwhile, up in the pros, Tar Heel legend Ryan Switzer announced his retirement yesterday after an NFL career cut short by injuries. He says he wants to move into coaching next. Staying in football, an individual honor for junior wide receiver Josh Downs. After a stellar 2021 campaign, he's been named to the watch list for the Maxwell Award, which goes to the College Football Player of the Year. Downs broke UNC records last year with 101 receptions and more than 1,500 yards in the air. He's one of 85 players on the watch list in all, including 12 in the ACC. Over to women's basketball now, just a few months away from the start of a highly anticipated season, with much of the roster back from last year's Sweet 16 trip, and one big new addition, an incoming freshman who almost didn't end up in Chapel Hill at all. 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe has more on Paulina Paris.
When the Tar Heels take the floor in Carmichael Arena to tip off the 2022-23 season, all the familiar stars will be suiting up. Deja Kelly, Kennedy Todd-Williams, Eva Hodgson, and others lead a Carolina side likely to be inside the top 15 in preseason polls. Only one new face will be on head coach Courtney Banghart's roster, freshman Paulina Paris from New City, New York. Paris is rated as a four-star prospect by ESPN and the number 27 overall player in her class. She is described as a gifted scorer at the combo guard position, averaging 23 points per game in her final high school season. Paris committed to the Tar Heels before the beginning of last season, when the program's on-the-court results still hadn't quite caught up with the recruiting. But she told 97.9 The Hill the family atmosphere and the promise of more wins on the horizon earned her commitment.
I was able to meet the girls on the team, and the girls were the people that really sold it for me. Obviously, the coaches are great, but I didn't want to go to a team where I didn't get along with the girls. And also, I could tell that they were going to be a winning program because of the way that she coaches the team and just by the way the girls act and stuff. So that was mostly the reason why I came here.
Paris originally wasn't even considering Carolina. When she released her original eight finalist schools in January 2021, the Tar Heels were not included. She committed to Penn State, but once softening COVID regulations allowed for official campus visits, decommitted and reopened her recruitment. Paris said UNC was the first school to reach out to her after that. And since arriving in Chapel Hill, Paris has made strong impressions with her teammates and, perhaps most importantly, Banghart.
I have been really impressed by Paulina. She's got a maturity and a steadiness to her that is showing already. When we're recruiting, we find the piece or pieces that we need. We go after them and we do the best we can to secure them. And in this class, we knew what we needed because we know what we have. And she was what we needed.
Paris described herself as a guard capable of both scoring and passing. And it's hard to argue with a top 30 recruit. While she acknowledged the jump from high school to college hasn't been easy, she mentioned two of her teammates who are making the transition easier.
I would say the girl that has probably helped me the most in practice would be Eva. Obviously, I'm making a few mistakes in practice because I'm not used to what we're doing yet, but I've definitely gotten better, and Eva's definitely been there to keep my head up through the plays that I've messed up on, and definitely Anya too. They both have been big helps to me.
Hodgson, who is entering her second and final season with the Tar Heels after transferring from William and Mary, said she remembered how it felt to step onto a brand new campus. Helping the freshmen out was an easy choice.
I know how I felt last year, and I did it twice. And so just having someone who's been here and is a little bit older and has gone through it, kind of just even say, I'm here for you, let me know what you need kind of thing, is I found extremely helpful in my time. And so I just wanted her to know that no matter what's going on, she's supported, she's loved, like I'm here for her, because, again, that's what I know I would need to hear.
As the least experienced player on an experienced and talented roster, how much playing time Paulina Paris gets next season is still up in the air. The freshman from New York is confident in her abilities, but even more confident in Carolina's outlook. When asked about the team's ceiling, she didn't hesitate. It's national championship or bust. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
And one more bit of news. Congrats to the Tar Heel men's and women's track and field teams, just named all academic teams by the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association. They earned the honor by having a combined GPA of 3.0 or better last year.